broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I asked them if I could go to the bathroom. I didn't have to go.
I just want to say, I thought it was a productive meeting. I thought that people came
There's
to...
There's a fine line between adventure and insanity.
In summary, a strong majority of those who answered the survey...
Cat urine!
That is a threat on the radio.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Through the looking glass we go. A high wire act every night, man, that's for sure. Going places other talk shows wish they could, wish they had the guts to go to. Can you get high off of a baking spice? Well, teens are apparently using nutmeg. In fact, teens were using nutmeg 40 years ago. I don't know why this is such a big story. But it's kind of like don't touch my junk. Suddenly, there's a whole bunch of people that, you know. Also, a student Googles himself and discovers he's wanted for murder. 877-876-PHIL on our website, philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of the show. And if you miss the breaks, if you miss the uncensored pre-show, if you miss all of the uncensored parts of this show, you're missing it, man. Because I'll tell you something, one way or another, we're going to make some money on this show. And if it isn't with the show itself, it's me losing my mind behind the scenes or going off when, you know.
Yeah, in other words, look at you being a douche.
You know what, man? Okay, so I'm being a douche. Do I ever deny it?
No, I'll give you that much.
Jeez. 877-876-PHIL. Ant-covered Jesus sparks controversy, threats of defunding in Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery. I always like these stories because I'm a big supporter of the arts. I really am. But I also know that when it comes to the public funding of arts, you can only go so far, you know. And if some people may think that it's an important thing to fund a guy's video of a crucifix of Jesus that is covered with ants because it's a statement on AIDS. I get it. The artist, as well as the co-curator of the exhibit, where they were talking to, actually, the conservative news site CSNews.com, and they said that it depicts Jesus on a crucifix covered with ants. It was made in 1987 to explore the social response to AIDS through the years. All right. I'm not willing to argue with any of that. Anyone ought to say it's a violent, disturbing, and hallucinatory presentation. It precisely replicates the impact of the disease itself and a society that can barely comprehend its magnitude. All of that stuff is very heavy. But until such time as the American people are up to speed on that kind of art, then you're going to have a controversy. You're always going to have a problem. You can stand there and make your case. But if people say, I don't think so, then that's where that's at. Now, right now, you know, with the budget the way it is and our need for money, ant-covered Jesuses just ain't going to make it. You know, it's like that Mapplethorpe guy.
That's the guy that had the picture of a man's penis.
It wasn't just that. It was a crucifix. It was a crucifix in a what was it, Robert?
Yeah, it was a crucifix in a glass of urine or something. What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. But and I'm not willing to say that it's not important art. I'll bet you it is. It was Robert Mapplethorpe. That's who it was. And I'm not going to stand here and say that, you know, art is art. What the hell is art? You know, when you get into art, I'll tell you this much. There's a lot of people that may say that art is the province of the big city, that art, really, really sophisticated or so-called sophisticated art or highly symbolic art, is all the province of the big city, is the province of New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco, and all of those art colonies, you know. And some people may react to art that way. We may have a rural-urban split in America. When it comes to art, what does a average American consider to be artistic? Maybe they fall back on the masters, on the American masters. Maybe they fall back on what, you know?
Well, about that one picture of that old man with a pitchfork.
Yeah, that one is the one I think about.
The old man with a pitchfork?
Yeah. He's standing with a pitchfork, man. It doesn't look happy.
What is he talking about?
You know the one. It's an old guy with a pitchfork, and he looks mad.
Oh, okay, I know that. American Gothic.
I don't know, but that's one everybody says.
Yeah, it's called American Gothic. Yeah, it's like a farmer and his wife.
Yeah,
it's American Gothic. What do you want? You know, so maybe there's some people, maybe they think it's Norman Rockwell, you know.
I don't know about him.
He's a guy, never mind. I mean, you've probably seen his stuff. You don't even know. Norman Rockwell was on a cover of the Saturday Evening Post. That was an old magazine. Anyway. But I'll tell you something, man. You know, art is everywhere, and it's a very strange world, art. Now, there was a guy, and I can't even remember the name of this guy, but I went and visited this guy, and I'll tell you about his art. He did a cover for the Talking Heads album, and he did an ad for Smirnoff Vodka, and he is a dude that lived in northern Georgia, and he's a preacher. Okay.
Yeah.
And I went up there to see his studio, and this cat was living forgive me for saying this, but the guy was living in northern Georgia. I mean, it's like, it's pretty redneck. I mean, there were a whole bunch of chain link fences and dogs tied to trees and, you know, mason block houses. And his name was Harold, God, what was this guy's name? But anyway, he was the epitome. What is his name? Howard Finster, that's it. We met Howard Finster. And Howard Finster was a preacher, southern to the bone, lived up there with all the other southern folks up there in northern Georgia, because we saw his stuff in a gallery in Atlanta. And I was in Little Five Points, Atlanta, and I see this painting, and Howard Finster was known as a primitive. Now, why do they call him a primitive? There are certain people that are great artists, and they don't know how great they are. In other words, they just draw stuff, and it is profoundly, insanely great. I mean, this cat's stuff was going $15,000, $20,000, and my friend bought one of his paintings. I think the one she bought was like $8,000-$10,000. She put down $10,000 for a painting.
She was this girlfriend of yours?
Yeah, and she wasn't rich, no, okay? Man, she did. Guys, and I said to the gallery owner, I go, what is a primitive? He goes, you know, like Grandma Moses. I mean, they are brilliant. I mean, when you look at their stuff, you realize it's brilliant, but they don't really know it. Well, Howard Finster was a primitive. Howard Finster drew these little figures, and he drew them by the hundreds in his paintings, and he drew one of they're all diving into a pit of fire. It's like they're all going to hell, you know? Well, I mean, his stuff was so brilliant that the Talking Heads had him do an album cover. In fact, when we went to his house, the guy is sitting there in his kitchen, okay?
Yeah.
And he's got his big, tall nephew sitting behind him. And out on the street in northern Georgia, with all the chain link fences and the dogs tied to trees, are cars with, like, New York license plate, Colorado license plate, people from all over the country driving to Howard Finster's house. And he's in the kitchen holding forth. I mean, every day his nephew brings him in and he sits down and I can tell you, you know. And he sits there. He's got a ski cap pulled down. He's a southern man. He's a preacher, believes in Jesus. And he said to me, I remember talking to him, and he said, I did a painting, I don't know if you saw it, for Smirnoff Vodka, see? And I'm a teetotaler. See, so that's how I got my message in. They didn't even know, you know. And whether they knew or not, what difference does it make? Smirnoff used this painting for their ad. And Howard Finster's all, yeah, and I'm a teetotaler, see, so I got my message in, and that's how I do it. That's how I do it, you know. So the guy, you can tell, is slightly, he's not crazy, but he's just like, the cat's lit up, man. He's just lit up. Then he goes, have you taken the walk through the garden? And we said, no, we haven't. Well, you go through my Jesus, go through the Christian garden, go in there, go now, you know. And so we go walking. Well, he has little bits of broken glass and stuff hanging from trees. I mean, the dude, you would think the cat's just a really eccentric old man, except this guy is honored by the art establishment as a genius artist, you know. Land of Living Waters, I'm told. Finster's 48x60 painting entitled Land of Living Waters, $15,000. It's on sale on his website right now, $15,000. And is that the most expensive one? It can't be. I bet you he's got... It is? Well, I bet you that cat's... He must have some stuff that's... Now, I know he's passed on. I know he's passed on, but... Right? Now, that's a guy... that I would love for people to know more about, because Howard Finster is, like I say, he's a primitive. He's just a homegrown, he's a cat that just one day took a paint and a brush and just started drawing stuff. And it was, wow, you know, somebody went, this is pretty good. What else did he do? He did the Smirnoff Vodka, Talking Heads, a bunch of stuff. And I think if you see his work, you'll recognize it. You'll probably recognize it. Go, oh, wow, I think I did see that. Oh, and then the other thing is he had an 8x10 in his kitchen.
Yeah, did he say that he knew the Talking Heads and everything?
Yeah, I was going to say he had an 8x10 in his kitchen of him standing there with the band.
With a Talking Head?
Yeah, with the Talking Heads.
No, what?
Talking Heads?
You're talking about a Talking Head.
That's the name of the group, Talking Heads.
Talking Heads, a group?
Oh,
what did you think I was talking about?
You were talking about he's talking to a head.
Talking Heads is the name of a band. There was an 8x10 photograph of him in his kitchen with David Byrne and all those guys, which was kind of a trip, you know. And I asked him, I said, so how'd you like doing the art for those guys? Oh, they're very nice young people. Nice group of young people, you know. But the dude, his cat was just very intense. And then at some point, his nephew says, okay, my uncle is, you know, tired. He's going to take his nap now. Okay, and so everybody has to split. But I asked, he said, the guy was like totally lit up. He goes, I'm up until 3. I work till 3 in the morning. Yes, in the morning. And then I go to sleep. I sleep till 5. And then I get up and work some more. And then, you know, so the guy only sleeps like 3 hours a night or something. I mean, really interesting guy. So cats like that, I'm all in favor of like the ants crawling over Jesus, yeah. But you know what we ought to be funding is more people like that. These homegrown primitive artists who are just absolutely brilliant, and they don't do what they do to provoke anybody. They don't do what they do to be controversial. They don't do what they do to piss anybody off. They're just, this stuff is coming out of their souls, you know, onto this canvas, and someone comes along and goes, this is really brilliant stuff, you know. Let's put it in our vodka ad. Yay!
I like to see that vodka ad.
If you Google, he's got several, he has several toilet bowl seats that he painted, 700 apiece. He's got a 6x2 painting of Marilyn Monroe for $9,000, really. I wonder if the, is the Smirnoff painting there? You know what we got to do, Jace, is get the Smirnoff painting. I'll put it on our website if we've got any of that, find any of that Finster stuff. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. A student Googles himself and discovers that he's wanted for murder. Plus, Katy Perry or Pink, will they be able to overtake Glee for the top-selling iTunes single? Well, we'll tell you next to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Thank you. And then I'm awake until 3.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
If you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, we just put up Howard Finster's Talking Heads album cover that he did for Talking Heads. I'm trying to see, what's the name of the album, man?
It just said Talking Heads.
Just says Talking Heads, yeah. But you can see what I'm talking about. The guy's stuff is, oh, it's gone, all right.
Now, this guy's stuff, it looked like a little kid did it.
What do you mean, a little kid? But it's, that's what they mean about primitive. See, he's self-taught, but the stuff that's coming out of his head, I mean, look at that stuff.
It all looks like another planet or something where the guy lived on. Look at all those clouds are smiling and stuff.
Yeah, he's got, like, smiling clouds, and oh, man. Anyway, it's the Talking Heads album called Talking Heads. I don't know what the hell's on it. But you'll recognize the album cover when you see it. 877-876-PHIL. Student Googles himself, finds he's accused of murder, and then finds that he's been convicted, found guilty, and executed. I'm joking about that last part, but a Florida college student got quite the shock.
Quite the shock, I say, Jerry.
When he Googled himself and discovered that authorities had released his name and photo as a suspect in a murder case. Why? Because they wanted to get their kicks, that's why. Because that's how those guys get their jollies. I'm kidding, but who knows? I was very shocked to find my picture in the article saying that I was convicted of a felony murder charge, said University of Florida student Zachary Garcia in a very nonchalant manner to Tampa Bay's WTSP. The mix-up occurred in September When authorities arrested three teens following a botched robbery attempt in Davenport, Florida, but Garcia didn't learn about it until Saturday. During the robbery, the homeowner shot and killed one of the alleged burglars, 15-year-old Atil Rubio. Because the teen's death occurred during the commission of a felony, the Polk County Sheriff's Office charged his alleged accomplices with murder, according to WTSP. One of the teens charged in the crime, therefore, was Zachary Garcia. You'll note the murder suspect's first name is spelled with an E, whereas the college student's first name is spelled with an X. No, it's an A. But both Garcias also share the same birthday, March 6th, though they were born 1 year apart. So those details apparently escaped the notice of the police, who wound up associating not only Zachary Garcia's name with the crime, but also his driver's license photo. You know, it doesn't make any sense to have a normal name.
I'm going to tell you, man, I know my name's weird, but I didn't want to get a weirder name.
Well, how much weirder going to get?
If I were you, I'd change my name, Robert Leonard. That sounds normal.
Well, what are you going to do, man? What are you going to change your name to? Why don't you change your name to Moon Unit, okay?
There already is one of them.
Yeah, there is one of them, but the point being, you're going to change your name to something weird. You know, that's fine. Change your name to something weird, but then you're just going to have a hassle every time, you know, every time you want to get yourself, what, a student pass to Disneyland, they'll say, how do you spell that? It's no secret that Googling your name, or ego surfing, as it's often called, can result in embarrassing discoveries. But this mistake, Garcia said, it was way over the line. Garcia told the news station that initially he was worried that the false information could result in his expulsion from school and the loss of his job. Are you kidding, pal? It's going to get a lot worse than that, man. It's going to get a lot worse than that. This is not just getting expelled from school. We're talking about murder. Zachary Garcia talks to WTSP television.
My initial reaction was pure shock, and after that, it was just me being upset. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, I work at Publix. You know, I might get somebody's sub wrong, but for somebody, you know, to get, you know, that wrong, it's not a sandwich. You know, it's somebody's life you're playing with.
Garcia told the news station initially he was worried that the false information could result in his expulsion. Oh, I already told you that. Anyway, while it's unclear what Garcia was hoping to find when he Googled his name, he did see a picture of Howard Finster's Talking Heads album that was...
Really?
No, not really. He will have plenty to read about now, as the tech-minded website Geekosystem.com points out. And now, as this story spreads, non-murder suspect Zachary Garcia is going to see his name pop up in all of these murder-related stories about how Googling his name used to erroneously cause his photo to turn up in connection with a murder case. You idiot!
Yeah, man, they're right about that. But, if he had not made a story out of it.
Well, but you see, here's the problem. He didn't make the story out of it. The mistake made the story out of it.
No, when he Googled the name, he found that out.
Really? Is he the guy that brought it to their attention?
I guess. I don't know.
That's pretty scary, man. All right, here are the top 10 singles and albums on iTunes. Firework, Katy Perry, Raise Your Glass, Pink. Ha! Huh? We Are Who We Are, The Time, Black Eyed Peas, What's My Name, Rihanna and Drake, Grenade, Bruno Mars. So where's your Glee, man? Did Glee get its ass handed to it? I guess so. Grenade, Bruno Mars, Only Girl in the World, Rihanna, Just the Way You Are, Bruno Mars. Oh, no, wait a minute. Bruno Mars, isn't that Glee? Little Monsters? Well, I'm way off the beaten path here with this stuff. So, let's forget about Glee, okay? All I do is get confused with that rotten show. No, it's a very good show. It's a great show. Here is the Katy Perry single. That's enough of that. Now, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Kanye West, Pink, Burlesque, Glee, number 4 on the album chart. Glee's The Music, the Christmas album, the Glee cast. So they're 4 on the Christmas chart, rather on the album chart, but Kanye West beat them. But... Phil. Derek Anderson's post-game tirade. Derek Anderson got pissed off after Arizona loses another one. How bad are the Arizona Cardinals? How bad do they continue to be? Even after appearing in a Super Bowl, pretty bad. And that Wisconsin student gunman in the standoff has died. I don't know how much of that you want to hear about. Probably not that much. And gays won't hurt the military, a new poll says. And guess who they were polling? Well, they were polling the troops. Asking the troops, is it going to butcher up your morale if you're, you know, fighting with a gay guy? And these cats are, whatever, man. I think we got bigger fish to fry. I don't know, you know. LaGuardia also ranks as the worst airport in the country. Portland International is the best. We've got a Zagat survey for you as to the best and the worst airports in America. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Hendry. Just a very quick showbiz note here. CBS News has abruptly gave the early show a complete makeover in an attempt to freshen the show, replacing co-hosts Harry Smith and Maggie Rodriguez with its current Saturday anchor team of Chris, whatever the hell his name is, and Erica something. The network, well, I don't know what it says.
Yeah, but Chris Ragged.
Yeah, Chris Waggy.
Chris Waggy? Chris Waggy and Erica Hill. I can say Hill. The network is also replacing weather forecaster Dave Price with Marisol Castro because she's Hispanic, and it'll help them with, no, I'm sure that isn't it. She was formerly with ABC's Good Morning America, their weekend edition, as you well know, and they're adding the new team will start on January the 3rd. Now, there'd been little inkling that alterations were afoot, although the CBS show, the early show, has never really knocked it out of the park. Good Morning America constantly kicks its ass. The NBC Today show, of course, has made a big comeback. But the early show has consistently ranked behind those shows. The morning champ now, of course, is NBC's Today show. And then comes ABC's Good Morning America wiping up the rear. The week before, actually the early show does, the week before Thanksgiving was typical. Today's show averaged 5.6 million viewers each day. Good Morning America had 4.6 million, and the early show had 2.9 million. You know, that's been the way it has been at CBS for the longest time, and is it the curse of Captain Kangaroo? Is that it?
Well, you know, they had Kangaroo for a long time, Kangaroo.
Yeah, when did Kangaroo stop?
Kangaroo stopped? What do you mean Kangaroo? Captain Kangaroo stopped in the 80s. In the 80s, yeah. Captain Kangaroo. But I think it's the curse of Ken. Why do I call it the curse of Captain Kangaroo? Because while everybody was doing their morning news thing with the Today Show and Good Morning America, CBS continued to show Captain Kangaroo between 8 and 9. So it started at 8 and it ended at 9. And before that, most of the CBS O&Os and the CBS affiliates did local morning shows. I remember on Channel 2 in Los Angeles between 7 and 8, When is Kangaroo on, man?
He ain't on no more.
Well, all right, okay, but when was Kangaroo on? I forget. But anyway, between 7 and 8, they'd have a CBS local show, then Kangaroo. Well, Kangaroo continued, and then, why am I calling him Kangaroo?
Well, that's just a shortcut.
Very disrespectful. Then the captain went off the air, because CBS decided, you know, we got to get with it. They won a lot of Emmys, and they were very, very respected for having Captain Kangaroo, but it didn't help them in terms of, you know, making inroads into that ever-increasingly lucrative morning show market. And so they decided finally to, you know, to axe the Captain Kangaroo show, but ever since then, they've stunk it out, man. I mean, they couldn't get a morning show over there for love or money. I mean, they just every year. Their CBS Nooning, here's one of the reasons, they still have the same guy as their news president, Sean McManus. But,
You better watch out, man.
I'm not going to watch out anything. It's the same guy. Sean McManus said he won't be expecting any immediate ratings changes because he's still the news president. Anyway, he said he won't be expecting any immediate ratings changes in a time where the Today Show hasn't lost a single week in nearly 15 years. How could I possibly compete with that, said Sean McManus as he put his hat on and decided to just jump out of a third floor window. But he said he believed the new team will help the show grow. This group, I think, will work very well together, McManus said, and they'll agree with everything that I say. He just felt the timing, or we just felt, I should say, he was speaking of Mr. Moonves, of course, we just felt the timing was right to start planning for the future, he said, with a big grin on his face. Smith had the longest tenure on the early show. He was the sole survivor from 2002 when CBS installed a four-anchor team that included Smith, Hannah Storm, Julie Chen, and Renee Seiler. Where are they now? Well, Hannah Storm is at NBC. I think Chen is still around, isn't she?
I don't know. Probably not. Didn't she marry Maury Povich?
That was Connie Chung.
Well, no. That's what I'm talking about.
Julie Chen ain't the same person. Connie Chung, Julie Chen.
Well.
Yeah, trust me. Chen still contributes occasional reports to the show, but other than that, she couldn't care less. Smith also hosted a previous CBS morning show from 87 to 96. CBS says he'll stay at the network as a news reporter and primary substitute at the CBS Evening News, Face the Nation, Sunday morning, boom. Alerted the changes were coming, Smith bought a gun, he said he took a long walk on a cold golf course. God, he must have been emotional, huh?
Sound like he might have taken it hard.
Alerted that the changes were coming, Smith said he took a long walk on a cold golf course, then decided to just wander into the surf and not come out. No, he said he took a long walk on a cold golf course Sunday and reflected on doing the CBS morning show for 17 of the last 25 years. To be honest, I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunities I've had, he said, as he just sobbed, heaving his shoulders into the arms of the reporter. I've given them everything I can possibly give, said Smith. What else do they want from me? As he dropped to his knees and wept. I wish the people who follow nothing but the best, although you know I really don't. God love them. I hope they can move the ratings, because we couldn't. What a failure I am. And then we heard a pistol shot.
What are you doing, man? I'm
kidding around. Sorry. Waggy, or whatever the hell you guys call him.
His name right there, Reggie.
Reggie? Is that his name, Reggie?
No, man. His last name, W-R-A-G-G-E. Raga.
Raga worked in sports, including a stint as a sideline reporter at events for NBC until he made the jump to news in 2006. Besides his weekend job at Subway, he's been anchoring... I'm kidding. Besides his weekend job at CBS, he'd been anchoring...
You better get serious.
I'm sorry. Besides his weekend job at CBS, he'd been anchoring local news broadcasts at the network's New York affiliate, the job he'll give up to go national. Hill, who came to CBS from CNN, briefly filled in for Rodriguez last year when Rodriguez was on maternity leave. Now she's going to fill in permanent, and she can tell Rodriguez, well, we tried the Mexican, you know, it's just... Anyway, she's the only holdover from the current Daily Show. She's probably going to... Are you pregnant? No. Well, I got to take over anyway. She's the only holdover from the current daily program, although in a different role. Currently, she reads the newscasts. Now, she'll be bringing people coffee. Raggy, or Waggy, or whatever the hell he's... And Hill's growth as a team has been evident on Saturday mornings at... Really evident to who, man? And they've proven adept at shifting between hard news and lighter fare, McManus said. Oh, that's why. Because McManus said...
They're uniquely suited to each other and to the morning show genre, said Sean McManus.
Now then, Friedman, this story goes on forever, man.
Well, you might as well finish it, man, because you stopped another story you got to do about.
Well, we do. I want to get into, the nutmeg can make you high, and Derek Anderson flipping out on the press after the ball game after Arizona sucked it up again, 27-6. Who'd they get their ass kicked by this time? It doesn't matter. Anyway, Friedman said it's an advantage for CBS that its regular viewers know each other. Who's Friedman? Anyway, you got the basic story. So?
Well, don't make any difference to me, man.
See, nobody knows who them is until you said.
Nobody knows who them is until I said.
Yeah, because that's only a show you'd watch.
I haven't seen the CBS. The reason why I read the story is because I had seen that Harry Smith is one of those names that you just see. And he's a good guy. He's a good reporter. And so suddenly Harry Smith is out at CBS, or you know. So I wanted to read it, but I'm telling you of what I said there. And these things happen, and we all know that they happen, and that's fine, you know. And I wish CBS. I'm not going to tell them their business, but there is one consistent. You know, there is one constant in all of this that nobody's talking about replacing. And I said it to you, Sean McManus, CBS News president. So, you know what, Sean? Good for you. You held on to your job. Well, not for long, though. You know that you're just, you know, you're just one more Harry Smith away from being out the door yourself. So you better hope that this crew hits it out of the park for you, babe. If you don't mind me calling you babe.
Your wife doesn't mind.
That's really not funny, man. But anyway, Georgia Poison Center, kids using nutmeg to get high. Are you ready for that? Dr. Gaylord Lopez of the Georgia Poison Center tells CBS Atlanta TV the side effects of getting high off of nutmeg.
Heart racing and palpitations.
Sounds good.
To massive migraine-type headaches. Because these things can
Fantastic.
Cause lots of problems quickly, and in some cases may even be life-threatening. They do come on pretty quickly. This is, a finely ground powder, and may come on in as little as 15 to 20 minutes and last for a good 2-3 hours, depending
on
the dose.
So what are we talking about here? Nutmeg is a commonly used spice in cooking, but Lopez says if kids consume one tablespoon or more in a short amount of time, they can have serious health risks, even death. The spice can be snorted or smoked. Multiple YouTube videos show 20-somethings downing the spice straight from the bottle. A tablespoon or more could be a problem. If you take that amount and it happens to someone in a lower weight, you could be talking about symptoms that are life-threatening. I have to say this because... Well, I want to say it. They're obviously emphasizing the injurious effects of nutmeg. But the fact is, apparently, it is a mood-altering experience. See, they're talking about side effects like vomiting, convulsions, palpitations, dizziness, dehydration, dry mouth. But nutmeg gets you high. Now, is this new? No, it isn't. 40 years ago, when I was in high school, they were talking about nutmeg, only it wasn't the parents warning us. I think it was somebody on an album singing about it backwards. But nonetheless, now here is a YouTube video. They've got dozens of videos showing teens and 20-somethings getting high off of nutmeg. In this video, we see the after effects of a user named Theo who drinks a bottle of nutmeg mixed with water and then apparently hallucinates.
Yeah, how are you feeling? Why are your hands on your head? Do you feel gravity pushing down on you? What do you see?
I'm in the sand.
Sand? Where do you see sand?
The walls there.
The wall?
And then he said...
What Deuce and I talk about is nobody else's business.
But why was something funny when you're down 18 points in the fourth quarter?
It wasn't funny. I wasn't laughing about anything.
That was Derek Anderson after the Arizona Cardinals got their asses handed to them, 27-6 in Glendale, Arizona. He raised his voice, his eyes bulged wide, looking directly at a reporter in the crowd. The Arizona Cardinal let loose, taking exception to repeated questions by reporter Kent Summers about why he was laughing on the sideline late in the blowout loss to San Francisco. Anderson went on a profanity-laced tirade during a post-game news conference. Here it is. Oh, sorry.
What Deuce and I talk about is nobody else's business.
But why was something funny when you're down 18 points in the fourth quarter?
It wasn't funny. I wasn't laughing about anything.
The camera showed you laughing.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Coach Gruden commented about it.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm not. I'm
real serious. I put my heart and soul into this. Every single week.
All I'm saying is the camera showed
you. I'm just telling you right now what I do every single week. Every single week. I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I study my ass off. I don't go out there and laugh. It's not funny. It's not fun. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
That's why I'm asking you what.
I'm telling you right now. We're talking. Deuce and I are talking.
What was the context in which?
Who cares, you dumb reporter? He's talking to his teammate. I don't know. I don't blame the guy for getting pissed off. So he was laughing at something that his teammates said. That's got nothing to do with his attitude toward the game. Give it up, Kent Summers, Jack Ball. Anderson's taken plenty of blame for Arizona's six-game losing streak, and you really shouldn't, Anderson. You're just one more in a long line of quarterbacks they've had on that rotten team. All right, coming up, we've got the best and the worst airports in the country on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget, philhenryshow.com.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman here. We got LaGuardia and Portland International Airport. These two airports, they're well-known American airports, well, at their opposite ends of the scale, according to Zagat.
Well, it's supposed to be Zagat.
I know it's supposed to be Zagat. I never heard Zagat. I heard Zagat. That's what I'm going to call it until somebody with some authority from the Zagat organization corrects me.
I got Zagat on the phone. I thought it was funny.
New York may...
was pretty funny.
New York may be the greatest city on earth, but its airports are simply abysmal. A new survey released yesterday shows Portland, on the other hand, ooh! Did it ever occur to you that Portland handles about 1/15th the traffic? Anyway, Zagat's annual air travel survey found that 30 U.S. airports, LaGuardia Airport came in dead last. Now, of course, the question is, how many people fly in and out of LaGuardia? Yes, I understand that there's a lot of people, but not as many as Kennedy. I personally prefer LaGuardia because it's right there, man. There's the city. Bang, I'm in there. I don't have to screw around and wait around and go on. You know, just there, LaGuardia, city's there. I go. I'm in there. Thank you. The best thing probably to do is to knock it down and start all over again, said CEO Tim Zagat. Oh, really? It's not easy to get around, and it's outdated. JFK fared a little better, coming into 26th with a score of 9.57. Newark was tops in the area, 24th place with 11.72. Portland International Airport fared the best. It scored a 22. Last year, it was ranked number one as well. Who's paying off the Zagat survey in Portland? A consortium of businesses that want to consistently have their airport come in first, and so they pay Tim Zagat personally thousands of dollars a day. I'm joking.
Yeah, but people are going to think that's real now, man, because you only said I'm joking one time.
Well, what do you want me to do, say I'm joking on the hour every hour?
Yeah, but the people, see, we got to field the phone calls.
What phone calls are you going to field, man?
What if Tim Zagat calls?
If Tim Zagat calls, put him through. Put him through, man. I don't know how these things work. I don't know how these things work. You're trying to tell me, well, who is this guy anyway? You're telling me every day I got some news story here about a poll. I got a survey. I got a poll. Here's another survey. Here's another magazine, okay? You guys give me this stuff, and you want me to read it as if it's real.
Well, what makes you think it's not real?
Well, how do I know they're not paying this guy off? This isn't, you know, this isn't some government report. We're not talking about a congressional inquiry here. We're not talking about something that costs the taxpayers money. You know, so people think, well, what a deal. Zagat, or Zagat, came out with a survey to tell me the best airports in the country, and I'm sure, I'm just absolutely sure, it's objective and it's fair, and the methodology they use is sound. I mean, after all, you get what you pay for. Oh, you mean it's free? Yeah.
Yeah, but you're saying that Tim Zagat, or whatever his name is getting a payoff.
I like Zagat, by the way. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, how do I know? How do I know that Portland International Airport, as represented by the Portland, whatever the hell it is, the airport authority, or the people in Portland, or whoever, isn't paying Tim Zagat all kinds of money to make their airport come in number one? I'm not trying to say that they're doing that. But I will tell you this, if they were doing it, I wouldn't fault them. Well, I want my airport to come in first, too.
Well, what do you say, man? LaGuardia said they ain't going to pay?
Maybe that's it. Maybe Zagat sent his goons to LaGuardia, and they said, no, we ain't paying. So they're coming in last.
I don't think it's funny.
Oh, will you give me a break? Nobody's, like I said, man, this is not a public trust thing. Conducted on Zagat.com, the survey is based on, oh yeah, I'll bet it's based on, over 8,000 frequent flyers who collectively took 139,000 flights in the past year. Zagat has reviewed the airline industry since 1990. You ain't doing a very good job, man, because things ain't getting better, and nobody's getting the message either. Also at the top of the list for best airports, Tampa International, Salt Lake City, Detroit, and Denver International. I've only been in one of those. Wait a minute. I've been in Denver. I've been in Salt Lake. I've been in Tampa. I ain't been in Detroit. Not for a long time I haven't been in Detroit. As for the other worst airports in the country, JFK, Philadelphia International, LA International, Miami. Miami sucks. There's no question. Ask the people in Miami. LAX stinks. The problem with LAX is there's so many planes coming in and out of that joint. They don't have time to do anything to upgrade that airport. They're going to have to build a new airport. It's all there is to it. They got to build a brand spanking new airport. And they're going to have to put it up there in Lancaster, or wherever the hell they said they were going to do it originally. And they're going to have to put a Metro Line link up there. And they're going to have to, you know, somehow, some way, L.A., let's get into the 21st century, because time's a-wasting, baby. You know, we're still fooling around with Metro Line.
They're going to have a subway in the valley someday.
Ooh, really? Well, how about that, folks? We're going to have the light rail into the valley someday. You talk about a town that's so many years behind the times. Los Angeles is a joke. And now that airport, I don't know who is going to be running the show here in the next few years, but let's get somebody can kick this thing in the ass. New airport, let's get that Metro Line and those light rail lines out to where they ought to be, and then I'll move. All right, the Phil Hendry Show has been produced by Jason Rantz, Charles Weigand, our technical director, Dan Northcraft, our associate producer. And I just, you know, thank God for those guys, because I butchered this thing.
What about us?
Yeah, you're okay, too. See you tomorrow. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all your Phil Hendry Show needs.
Phil Hendry.